Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day 1. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin. Serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/Andy's Girls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/Andy's Girls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/Andy's Girls. And we're back.
I agree with you. But then the fans who are like showing up to the, you know, Miami Fan Fest or to BravoCon.
Yeah, are you going to that, by the way?
I think I might. Are you going
to
go?
I haven't received an invite, suffice it to say.
Okay, well, I haven't received an invite either. It's sort of, I think you just like email for press credentials.
Yeah, so, I need to email for press credentials for it. I need to.
I think, and we don't know anything about how credentials are working out for this quite yet. So once we do, we're going to make a decision. But I hope, like, we hope to be there.
It's yeah,
like
I love it's Miami. I love Miami. It's literally the best.
I do think there is like an alternate universe where I could live there. I've been there only twice in my life, but loved it every single time.
So pre-COVID, I used to go every year with my mom for quote unquote family reasons.
reasons to see our cousins, which we love our cousins who are on Fisher Island and are now on a different island. But it was to go to Miami. Yeah. So like we would have that one fabulous dinner, but we would be like, yeah, we're going to see family. But it's you're having one dinner and you're spending 6 days in Miami. So it's like, but I love Miami. So. Miami is the best energy. And I've also been in off season. And so I've not been as late as November, but I've been, I've been in late October before, and I'm not a girl who can survive the heat. So you give me a less hot Miami and I am happy as can fucking be.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know. I went in, I think it was April for a wedding, and even in April, it was so hot, but I can kind of handle the heat. But it was like definitely really sticky and hot. My husband does not do well with the heat. So like we can never actually live in Miami because of him. But then the other time I went was for a bachelorette party, which I think was also in April. I think that was April too. So I've only been there in April, which both times were like really hot. But like I loved it. I wasn't complaining at all. Everyone is just like, I don't know. Everyone's so pretty there. And I don't even know if they like actually are... I think it's just like
the residents of Miami, or it's just every pretty person goes to Miami.
I don't know. Like even the Uber drivers were so pretty. Like everyone was so pretty. And
you're from LA. I mean, not from LA, but you lived in LA. My God,
people are prettier in Miami. I swear to God. Like everyone was so stunning, and like everyone speaks Spanish. And I'm a quarter Colombian, and I don't speak Spanish. But like when I'm there, I feel like maybe one day I could be like that, bilingual. But yeah, I just love the vibe so much.
So speaking of Miami Fan Fest, are we thinking of like what the questions are going to be at, circling this back to the New Jersey of it all?
Oh, yeah. I was like, what are we even talking
about? I don't
even
remember, because now I'm thinking about needing to go to Miami.
Yeah.
I think it was going to be more, I think you were making a point what the questions are going to be or what the energy is going to be, because there is this whole like silent majority that may or may not exist when it comes to not participating in online conversations. How does that impact some of these real world events where people are very, very specific and maybe outspoken? That's part of what you're getting in your ticket price, is potentially the opportunity to add a little sass.
Right. Well, I was just thinking, you know, I think you're right. Like there is that silent majority, people who are just coming home from work, want to see a good, fun Housewives TV show. They're not on social media. They don't know about Jennifer Aiden and the bloggers. And
that's
the strollers.
I think that's a pure way to do it.
Totally.
Totally would love it. I would love to do that myself, honestly.
I think that the people who are activated on social media and following every nook and cranny and dramatic twist and turn, I think those are the people who are showing up to events like the FanFest and BravoCon. So if that's like your like core diehard audience as a network, do you cater to the opinions of like these social media users who are so loud in their Twitter usage? Like, I don't know. Like, or do you just sort of have faith and you're like, well, let's just make a great TV show and service like the moms in Kansas who aren't logged into social media, who don't necessarily have a loyalty to Teresa and or Melissa, and they just, like you said, want a nice Housewives TV show to come home to.
Or moms in Manhattan. You know, folks who are child free in New Jersey or Pennsylvania or Ohio.
Very
like
true.
I think, you know, they do those, what's that called? Like the viewers, not viewers choice, but like where they do those viewer polls that are constantly in flux. I went to the first, they called it Certified Bravoholics, where they invited 20 or 30 of us content creators from all over the country to 30 Rock for a day where there were panels with producers. You had your own like mini sessions. You went into these rooms where it would be like Sonia and Captain Lee or whomever, where you got the chance to kind of interact. And it was before the first BravoCon. So I kind of think of it as like the Trading Grounds. And then that night we went to Watch What Happens and we're the only audience. And I kind of think of the questions that they were asking us about like the future of the show and the future of the network were really interesting, because we were from all over the place. There were a couple of us from New York, people from LA, people from XYZ area. And it was interesting to hear people talk about the reasons that they love the show and what they want to see on the show. Do you want to hear political conversation on the show? Do you want to see X, Y, and Z? And it's just so fascinating because there are so many different ways that people not only enjoy Bravo, but want Bravo to be. Like, they want it to be maybe just elevated light, or they want it to be heavily dramatic. It's I'm sure that the kind of constant polling that they're doing, I'm sure that there's going to be some stuff there about what do you want the future of the show to be? And also, what are the Q ratings currently for the Jersey cast? And I do want to ask you a question that I mentioned before. I was like, it's a two-parter and here's part one. Part two is, so Page Six has been at the forefront of like conversation, plot, the landscape on New York City, landscape in media. And there's been a huge component of it and websites leaking stories, whatever, on seemingly every Housewives franchise, I think most of New York City. And maybe after that, maybe some combination of Beverly Hills and Jersey, maybe. And when I put Atlanta in there, I'm not quite sure. Just in terms
with the Bolo stuff,
that right? Like just 100%, just in terms of like Page Six's role in plot, which is kind of incredible. When people come to you with stories or when you are doing reporting, you know, there's always this idea of like so-and-so leaks, so-and-so sharing whatever with Page Six, yada, yada. How much of the info that comes your way is from Housewives or their teams versus sources connected to the network or somewhere else?
I mean, it goes both ways. It happens both ways. It's never as black and white as I think fans or just consumers of the franchise think it is. It can come through really weird, obscure channels that you were like, how did you find me? How do you know this? Like, let's figure this out. And sometimes, yeah, as you can imagine, information travels through the grapevine, personal teams. You know, Housewives also love to correct narratives. So if there's something out there, they, you know, find their agency to get in touch with someone who can help them get the truth out there, or their truth out there. So yeah, I mean, it can honestly come from anyone and everyone, but it's never like, well, with the exception of Ramona Singer texting my colleague, Francesca.
Oh my God. A racist slur? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Lord.
Yeah.
What a piece of shit. Oh, Lord is right. Oh my God.
With the exception of that, it's typically never like a housewife like directly calling or texting, because a lot of these housewives are smarter than that.
Yeah.
And they know about these things called receipts and screenshots and timeline and proof and all that. So like I find that many teams are very strategic and smart about how information is put into the Page Six universe.
It is wild when you think about the fact that Ramona would have continue to have been, well, she was fired and then brought back into the universe, announced her retirement after season 13 of New York, and then was brought back in and probably would have remained a part of the universe, even maybe after that Vanity Fair quote unquote expose came out, except that she had in fact texted a racist slur to a reporter. And it's wild when you think of the fact that like this isn't maybe new information of how Ramona is communicating, but she just did it too many times for the network to be able to stand it. There's something about that that's just incredibly repugnant when it comes to the network standards, that like this was the thing that crossed the line and not all these other allegations leading up to it.
Right, like her text to Francesca is what got her pulled from BravoCon. Like she
that's wild to me. That's wild that she wouldn't have been pulled until, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
We're not making light of what she said. We're it's essentially like the LOL of that being the thing that drove the network to say she's done too much, when you had so many other examples of her behaving in a way that was monstrous, that I would think is a fireable offense.
Yeah, I know. That it's honestly so wild. I mean, I remember it happened like a week or two before BravoCon. She obviously got pulled, and I remember Andy, he stopped for Danny and I on the carpet, and he was like, you know, the devil works harder, but Page Six works harder. And I'm like, are we the devil, or is Ramona the devil? Like, who's the devil in this situation? Because I think she's the one who texted the slur, and Francesca had no other choice but to report.
It's newsworthy.
Yeah, I don't know. Ramona's been in this game for a long time. I know she acts before, you know, acts before she thinks sometimes.
But sometimes she doesn't. Sometimes she's thinking. She's actively thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
let me not give her the benefit. I mean, like,
but just the Vanity Fair thing, which was like not exactly what I think a lot of us were expecting, yeah, did include some shocking information about stuff she said during filming that was at best unfortunate. But again, I would just say I would think it would be a fireable offense. But it's always interesting to think of who the network will give second chances to. And the fact that Page Six, in a positive way, has been in the forefront of, like, if you're not going to hold them accountable and they're giving us some stuff, we're going to do it, you know? And then that might put the network in a difficult spot, but it's a spot they wouldn't have been in had they maybe made some decisions prior to that.
It's so funny because, like, my role has shifted recently, or, like, evolved. Like, I used to be very much in the weeds of the breaking news and the sources and all that. And now that the podcast has expanded and so much of my job is more like access focused, I've been less involved, which is an interesting place to be. It's definitely an easier and safer place to be. And it's less dramatic.
Yeah.
Could get pretty dramatic behind the scenes with this person and that person weighing in and just a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But I don't know. Like, I think, like, right now, like, I'm really enjoying the way that my role has evolved just because I love an interview. I just, like, love talking. I love having fun. Like, I just, you know, like, that's the best. But there is a part of me that's like, okay, well, I don't want, like, I hope that there isn't a hole at Page Six because, like, you know, that's what we love about Page Six is, like,
yeah,
some of that reporting. It's just, hope, you know, I don't know. It's a weird thing because I'm thinking, like, oh, like, you know, maybe someone else will sort of, like, I can pass the torch to someone else in a way. But at the same time, I have such a connection to these subjects, we'll call them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if it's like a, I don't know. I want everyone to feel safe, including myself, including the housewives, until one of them does something crazy. Do I necessarily want to be the person to, like, dig into it anymore? No, but, like, some of this stuff should be dug into.
Yeah, 100%.
Just thinking of, like, the Ramona stuff, you know?
Totally.
Who has been at a live show, who was a doll to Danny and I, but this was obviously before.
But well before, yeah.
All this stuff.
With your transition into hosting full time, which is incredible, you're having an Andrew Cohen moment. Like, as he was in leadership at Bravo and is now on air talent, you are going from focusing on reporting with the podcasting and doing other work to really focusing and digging in on the podcasting and hosting. How is that going to work if you get a text message from random Real Housewife that's like, oh my god, this crazy thing happened and I need to vent to you, lol, on the record, or whatever else? Like, how do you approach that? Because you have this phenomenal pod, do you think to yourself, this would be great content on the podcast, or where is your allegiance? It's all connected to Page Six, so it's still going to the mothership, but do you focus that on an exclusive for the podcast that's then covered by Page Six, or does that go to Page Six first? Has that conversation happened?
I think that conversation is, like, actively happening
now.
Like, I feel
okay,
like, we're, like, still figuring that out.
Yeah,
but I would imagine that if there's a crazy exclusive that a housewife wants to break with us, like, if you want to be on video and do the podcast, we could like do it there, and then that'll get coverage on site, right, on social, everywhere. So that's kind of the cool thing about the podcast. It's like a lot of bang for someone's buck. So you get the podcast episode, you get the clips on social, it goes on YouTube, there's one if not several articles written around the interview, so it's you're one-stop shop. Yeah. So if you're a housewife or a reality star, come to the podcast first, because you're going to get a lot of coverage if it makes sense for the podcast. Now, yeah, if it's like something like really dark and crazy and like from a source and like, you know what I mean? Like that, I don't know.
Might not fit.
It probably won't fit for the podcast. However, yeah, it could be a fit for Page Six. And I just have to be a little bit judicious about what my name is attached to, mm-hmm, these days. It's funny, like, I feel like as my role has shifted, and it's been more about the access and the interviews, which is like a space I love to be in. Like, I've been in this sort of space at other outlets before, and I do prefer, like, this aligns with my spirit way more than sort of like the reporting sourcey kind of, mm-hmm, sometimes like dirty stuff. but what was I even going to say with that? As it's been more about like access and interviews and the podcast and video content and that kind of stuff, I've noticed that some of my sources or friends in the industry are starting to like go to others, like other reporters or journalists, who don't have an allegiance to protecting relationships.
Okay.
Because they know that they can get away with it with someone else who doesn't have those relationships. Like my relationships are so valuable to me. So like if some story comes to me that is just a nasty, mean, just disgusting, dirty story that I know is going to fuck with someone or the relationship I have with that certain someone, why am I going to touch it? So it's a tough thing to explain when you're talking about sources. But like, yeah, I noticed that several of them are realizing that like, maybe I'm not your guy.
Totally unrelated to that, how did you feel about John Jansen, his statement being picked up when he first said, I'm essentially filing suit against Shannon for $75,000, part of which paid for a facelift? That got press pickup because someone was willing to work with him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like a complicated situation. I'm really trying to understand his reasoning. Like, I've heard Shannon say several times over that she was willing to just repay him and let it go to bed. So it seems like he's trying to make some sort of point or get something else out of it that I don't know. Like he said that every day with Shannon felt like he was failing. I don't know if this is some sort of trauma response to his perpetual failure that he felt. Like, I don't know why he's doing this, if he could have just gotten the money. And like, but then I'm thinking like, okay, like is he doing it for the sole purpose of the show that he said he was going to pay Alexis not to do that she did anyway?
LOL.
I'm just really confused. Like, and the thing is, like, I've spoken with John, I've spoken with Alexis. They were absolutely lovely to me. Like, I think they're a beautiful couple.
Do you?
I think they're cute. I think
you mean like physically?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like a beautiful couple together. I was like, I don't know that I've heard a single person say that in terms of like they're meant to be, their love is strong and good.
I mean, I think that John Jansen is a handsome guy and that Alexis Bellino is a beautiful woman. And
do we care? Does that matter?
I mean, I don't know, but I have daddy issues, so that's my issue. That's like my problem here.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfest. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndyScrolls through December 31. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndyScrolls for 15% off today.
I mean, like, they seem happy together. And Tamara, who was just in our studio, who you seem to connect with some of the content that came out of there. She says that John's a different man with Alexis, and that he was always unhappy with Shannon, and with Alexis, he's just like totally different. So
he seems really chill. His threats to release footage of Shannon at her worst moments, weird emotional blackmail. He seems like he's changed quite a bit.
There's that too. But is it like really Alexis or John? Like, did John say anything, or is it like Alexis being a surrogate for John's voice, apparently?
Yeah, like, I think it's the worst case scenario, I would think, for Alexis's future, where I don't even know that it's Alexis talking. It's John talking through Alexis. If I was John, LOL, worst case scenario, and I was trying to support my quote unquote partner, I would probably tell them, you don't need to fight this for me. I'm okay. Focus on yourself. This is your opportunity. And since you didn't take my very real, sure, genuine offer that I would write you a check if you said no to this, which is among the more ridiculous things that I've heard a housewife say, Alexis is trying to tell us that John is a fantastic, supportive partner, mm-hmm. that he's a fantastic supportive person, that he doesn't want to have any kind of role in the public eye. What evidence do we have of that? All that we are hearing through Alexis is John's perspective and story. We're really not even getting Alexis's opinion, except that she is John's partner, girlfriend, future fiance, and feels the responsibility to carry his message. If I was genuinely, I would think, someone who was putting my arrogance or upset behind my love for this person, I would say, don't worry about it. You don't need to. This isn't me threatening you not to talk about me on camera. It's also me saying, not saying you have to talk about me on camera. It's me saying, this is a show that is supposed to be about your life. Focus on your life. You don't need to fight my battles. What he's doing is the exact opposite of that. And he keeps proving Shannon's point. And the concern for me is, while I think a pretty decent size of the audience understands that, is we're sort of watching the same show together, or we have a similar opinion. It might not be the correct or right one, but it's one that many of us share. That doesn't mean that Shannon isn't still going to be hurt by their behaviors. Like, my number one concern is that genuinely some sort of footage is shared or seen, which Tamra is way too fucking delighted about. Like, genuinely is talking about this video, and Alexis might share it at the reunion, of stuff that he kept or saved from the night of the DUI. It doesn't even honestly really matter to me whether Alexis and John are dragged for trying to threaten Shannon on camera this way, although that obviously matters, and I cannot believe it's happening to the extent that it is. I also really just genuinely don't think private footage, when it's come as the result of what is being discussed as blackmail, you need to stop talking about me, so Shannon should leave the show. Like, how do you stop talking about your life, but they're punishing her for remaining on the show and using this as a way to try to control her? But you know, when you say it, they're planning to do it regardless. We're living in this imaginary world where John is actually saying through Alexis, if you stop talking about me, I won't release it. We know at the end of the day that they want to do this thing. It's why they've spoken about it on camera. It's why Tamra wants to bring it up, because the plan is to do it. I just would hope that whatever it is that he wants to use to hurt Shannon does not become as much a part of a show, as much a part of the show as the show wants us to believe it will.
Yeah, something tells me that we're not going to see it, just for like litigious reasons. So it's interesting that they're really leaning into it narratively on the show. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of, because I make everything about Britney Spears. Do you remember when Britney and K-Fed and the kids, during the post-conservatorship mess of it all, we're kind of going back and forth in the media and on Instagram?
Oh, yeah, that was tough. Through his lawyer, I think. Yeah. Through Kevin's lawyer, talking about.
And
yeah,
the kids were giving like weird interviews, like, it makes me upset when mommy's naked or something. Yeah. And that was like all just like really icky. And then Kevin released on his Instagram this footage of Britney in the front seat with her kids in the back, and her kids were, you know, just kind of being like teenage buttholes. And Britney was essentially just a demanding respect. Like, was her tone a little scary? Yeah. But what mom hasn't...
Welcome to parenting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that if anything, even like the people who aren't super pro Britney were like, she's just being a fucking mom. And it kind of backfired on them and they deleted it. So I'm wondering if they release this quote unquote extremely damaging content or, you know, video, video footage of Shannon, is it even, what would it even prove? Maybe it would just show here was Shannon in a toxic relationship, pushed to her point, and we've all been there, done that. The thing is with Shannon this season, she's taken a lot of hits, but like, baby, she is rolling with the punches. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's handling herself so well. She's just like, whereas I feel like a lot of the housewives on Orange County prepare, like really prepare. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and maybe Shannon has done that in the past. I can't quite recall.
But I don't remember singles. And I'm a Shan stan, but I don't remember that. And she's had a lot of bad stuff happen to her. She doesn't need to.
This season in particular, it just feels like she's just like letting it all like, mm-hmm. like roll across her shoulders, just like letting things happen to her rather than like preparing or like procuring her like what mm-hmm. she's gonna do. Anyways, I just feel like despite the L's that keep coming her way, she's like, she's winning, and the fan support that she's receiving has been so remarkable. I wasn't expecting her to go into the season having had the DUI situation and all that drama and the breakup with John and the breakup with the Tres Amigas and all of this. Like, I wasn't expecting her. I would consider this season kind of a triumph for her. You know what I mean? Like, because I, for whatever reason, the fans are really connecting with Shannon and they're not connecting with Alexis and or John. And maybe that's just because, you know, Shannon is like filling the archetype of like a woman who got fucked over, and like a lot of us like can connect
identify
with that and
yeah.
identify. And in this situation, unfortunately for Alexis, because she did come in guns blazing with Shannon's ex on her arm, she is the villain in the story. That's like narratively, that's just like how this is set up. I'm not saying Alexis is a villain at all, like in real life, and I think that she's probably a much more dynamic woman than this like limiting friend of role John Jansen box that she's that she or production or someone has put her in currently. I think there's much more to Alexis, but like I would love to know about like her like supporting her trans child. I would love to know how her love for Christ impacts that relationship with her trans child. Like, I feel like there is so much more story to unpack with
and
Alexis.
Nuance, yeah, and yes. growth,
and
yeah.
that I think would like endear us to her. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is what appears to be like this like petty princess who's like dangling John and these allegedly incriminating videos in front of Shannon, who like you said, a lot of people can identify with because mm-hmm. we've been that girl before who has been seemingly effed over by an ex or had their boyfriend stolen or whatever it is. So I don't know. I even asked, we asked Emily Simpson, like, who's winning this season? And she was like, Shannon's the clear winner of the season. And then I was like, okay, so like who's like losing this season? I wasn't even trying to make it about like Shannon versus Alexis.
Yeah, yeah.
She could say Katie for
right.
only having a yes as a
yeah,
receipt.
Yeah.
Like she could have like literally said anything, but she immediately went for Alexis,
yeah.
which I thought was interesting because like Alexis and Emily have been close for years, like off camera, like real ass friends. And I remember I talked to Emily Simpson at this Kathy Hilton Christmas party back in November that Alexis was at. And this was like a few weeks after she and John were a thing. Mm. But Emily was like very supportive of Alexis coming back to the show because that was a rumor at the time. But then when I asked her about the John Jansen thing, they weren't official just yet. She was like, I don't think that Alexis would be less than smart enough to actually pursue a man like John, given what we know about John mm-hmm. via Shannon. So I don't know. It's a complicated situation. And I guess Alexis proved her wrong.
Yeah, I think that there are aspects of our life, of Alexis's life, that we haven't seen, but I just don't know how much of the depth in her life is like me projecting that onto her, because she just might not be, this might be Alexis. She might have other things going on in her life. She would sort of have to, because the what we're seeing on Housewives is John is her entire life.
Right.
So I would just hope for her, in terms of like maintenance, that there's in capacity that she is able to handle other things. Absolutely she is. But when it comes to like depth or empathy from her day to day, it just might not exist. She just might kind of be not like a one trick pony, but she just, this might just be kind of who she is. She just might be Alexis Couture lose the sleeves, you know, like that just might be her. And the reality is with the DUI, like obviously I think Shannon and John absolutely both admit or have discussed that their relationship together was toxic. The difference is maybe in the levels of toxicity and who's responsible for that and what came out of it. But not everyone going through a toxic relationship makes the decision to get out in a car and drive drunk. So there is accountability here that Shannon accepts, where it's like, this isn't, that's not a decision that should be normalized. You know, like she made a terrible decision. She is so fortunate that nobody was harmed, although she absolutely was harmed. And she, when I had her here in the office, here in the Chris Manzo honorary chair, she talked about that she wakes up every day and feels guilt for making that decision and shame over what could have happened. So I do want to say, I know that I think everybody's on the same page here, that that was a terrible decision and not one that just naturally comes out of a toxic relationship. I think she was dealing with a lot, but also she made a choice. And also associated with that, John's decision to prolong this in cahoots with Tamara, because he's thinking, I don't even know that I buy the argument that he's thinking that this will prove that Shannon is somehow wrong about their toxic relationship. To me, it just proves that their relationship was toxic. If there's video of them fighting or something, or video of her stomping off, I really don't know what it could be, because I would just say, yeah, their relationship was toxic. Shannon would tell you that. But what's important to me for the purposes of what it appears that Alexis and John are trying to do is like, look at how you are responding to this. Look at how you're responding to this toxic relationship. Look at how you're responding to the opportunity of being on camera. They've unfortunately been incredibly consistent, which is not good when you were trying to say that John's character was a one-off kind of misnomer because of his being in this terrible relationship with Shannon, in which he had no choice, I guess, for the entirety of the years they were together and the time that they were together while they were apart. Like, you're trying to tell us that he's this wonderful, dear, perfect man, a Christian man. He goes to 2 Christian services on Christmas because he's just that much of a Christian man, that you're telling us he has all of this faith and all this positivity, and he's the best, and you just haven't seen that from him. Yeah, I haven't seen it from him, because you keep showing me Shannon's guy. We just keep getting examples of that. So whatever their goal is, I don't even know that there really is one, because the way they're going about it is so focused on revenge. That whatever it is you were trying to achieve, if it's anything outside of embarrassing this woman, I don't believe that that's your actual goal. Because if it was, you would find a way to get there. But every single step of the way, it has been trying to punish this gal for having a job in which she talks about her life, and unfortunately making the decision to date John. You know what I'm saying? That was an 18-hour monologue about John and Shan, and also a little page 6. Like, I don't know. I don't know that this is going to, it's really unfortunate for Alexis. I wanted more from her than this, but I might be expecting too much.
Yeah, I mean, I heard what you said about maybe this is all there is to her. I would give her the benefit of the doubt that she is not this one dimensional, just because, like I mentioned, her acceptance of her trans child, mm-hmm. and knowing that she's very Christian and is even still with a man who goes to two Christian services.
And she's Christmas. From a very traditional conservative background. And that's the Alexis that we saw her first time on the show, and that she's grown in that way. Yeah, I'm not taking away from...
To like have the
ability.
The ability to even do that. Like as someone who grew up in the South and like a super Catholic home, and I had my own coming out story, like... And had a situation with my mom where she had to grow and adapt and develop herself. Like, I just know kind of what goes into that. And just knowing that Alexis probably had, like, a similar journey, I do think that there is... I feel like there's a good heart in there. I just think that, unfortunately, she's in, like, a messy romantic situation. And... I'm sad that her involvement with John might be negatively impacting her Housewives experience, because the fans don't seem to be connecting with this. And I think that had she maybe joined without this baggage, it would have been different for her. I mean, Tamara was telling Danny and I that she thinks that Alexis is getting an orange next season. So if the orange does come, that means more space to cover more aspects of her life. So that might, maybe it'll change things. Who knows?
I don't know that she's learning any real lessons from this season at all. I think that she's probably among the more closed off.
Yeah.
Because I think she's pretty closed off when the women are asking her questions and she's being sort of flippant. Like when Jen asked her a question in the most recent episode of like, when are you going to calm down? When are you going to stop kind of coming at Shan? And she didn't necessarily have a great response. It's unfortunate because I would like to see her talking about things that to me actually matter. I would like to hear her talking about her experience if her child is open to that experience being discussed publicly. Mm-hmm. That might be a conversation that her child has had with her and said, you know, I don't want this to be on TV, and she has every right. Alexis has every right to make the decision to steer maybe her time on the show away from that or away from that right now. Also, because I think her kids are still minors.
Yeah.
There are other considerations to
and
take.
Jim, there might be a and Jim Bellino. Kind of thing.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Because look at Sonia. Sonia wanted and Brandy Glanville. There are several housewife who's been on the show who are moms who were not able to show that because of situations involving their divorces, divorce settlements, ex-husbands not wanting to sign consent for their kids to be filmed. And you know what? The end of the day is good for the kids to be protected from some of the toxicity that can happen as a result of their parents' decisions to sign up for this show. It's just so unfortunate that she's being so arrogant right now, because it makes people potentially a little bit less interested in what she's going to offer. And I also just have to say, from a capacity perspective, we already dealt with Louis on New Jersey. I don't need another situation on Orange County where I'm distracted by this man who is way too fucking involved in the plot that it is pulling away from the show. And I'm saying the show is like phenomenal this season. Yeah. So I'm not saying it's like we're in the creative depression in Franklin Lakes, but I don't need him to be more involved in the show. And I actually think that might complicate things if Alexis is back full time, because I don't know that she has the ability to self-edit. I just really don't. She just might not have it in her, and she might just think he's the best man in the world and he needs me. He needs me to defend him. I don't know. Would a real man need you to do this much for him? He can't take care of himself. I know it's different because it involves fame and TV, but I don't know. I don't know. I sort of, in relationships with people, I'm kind of the person that's like, the way you speak about your exes or people that you dated, it's a little bit of a window into how you might speak or treat me if we don't work out. And so I always think that's like, don't believe who someone is based on their best. Believe who they are and how they dealt with the worst. And he's not really giving her great indications that, God forbid, their forever love doesn't work out, that he's going to treat her any better than he is the lady who he previously told he was going to marry. You know, it's not to say that people can't have toxic relationships that they're still upset about, but he's doing so much more on top of that, that I would take him at his word. Maya Angelou, when someone tells you, Maya Angelou, but I always quote Oprah because she's the reason that I know the quote. So when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time.
Yeah.
I've believed them the first time, second time, third time, whatever time we're on. Alexis might never believe him and she's gonna have that kind of relationship.
Yeah. I'm thinking back to when you mentioned about Jen being like, when are you going to calm down? And I was like, when are you going to calm? I wonder because, like, you know, like the girls have discussions with producers before, you know, a season starts. I wonder if there was sort of like a mandate or a suggestion for Alexis to really lean into this. And maybe because she's been out of the game for so long, she was like, let me just, you know, fulfill the assignment. I don't know. There's a part of me that's, because it just seems so incessant, maybe there's sort of like an undercurrent of, I don't want to say inauthenticity, but it feels like maybe she's doing what she thinks needs to be done.
Yeah, totally. Many people before her have done that, have made that choice. It's just not, it wasn't a good one. But like, join the long, there's a very, very long line of people who thought they knew what was best and what would bring good TV. And regardless of good TV, what would be the thing that she might find personally fun? And it's just unfortunate for her that her voice has carried so far. I don't know that that has fit her, but I also don't know that Tamara's best instincts are working right now. I don't know which Tamara we're kind of looking at. I think she's trying to juggle the Tamara post-firing back on the show. I've learned lessons, grateful to be here, taking some of this with a grain of salt versus digging the knife in as deep as she possibly can and getting to a point that was tough to watch in some of her last seasons before she was put on permapause and then brought back, you know? And what? How did you feel about, and we literally have to wrap, we've been recording for 18 hours, I'm so sorry. How did you feel about her when you had her on the pod?
I mean, look, I'm a Tamara fan. I think that she was born for this. I think
she
is a prime reality star. There's not another Tamara Judge out there. I think she brings so much to the franchise, and there's a reason why she was brought back. She brought she breathed new life into the show when she, like, whether you like Tamara or not, her return was absolutely necessary given the state of the show with the Heather and Noella and Nicole James. Like, it was just tough to care. And so I think that Tamara really made people care again. And whether they're getting along or not getting along, I do think it's interesting to see how she and Shannon move through life together alongside each other, move in different directions. And yeah, I think she's the shade. It just spills out of her. Like, everything she says is so shady. She's so good at it. I don't think she gets credit as a shade assassin quite like a Kenya or who are other great shade assassins, or like a Phaedra. Like, Tamara's kind of like, she's kind of in there. Like, you don't really realize it, but she can like annihilate you verbally. And then you're like, wait, what did she really just do that or say that? I had a fun time with her. Like, I thought she was great. She speaks in headlines. We were talking for 20 minutes and I was like, headline.
Yeah.
Headline.
She's a soundbite. She's a soundbite assassin.
Yes. Definitely a soundbite assassin. So she was giving. She was very generous. And I've always had like a good rapport with her. I admire what she's done in the podcasting space, in the Housewives ecosystem. I think she's added a lot of really interesting texture with the Teddy of it all and the Vicky of it all. So I don't know. I think I had fun with her. I think she's fun. I know that she has not made life for Shannon fun, but as a viewer, as a Shan stan, it gives you even more of a reason to stan Shan.
Yeah.
So
it's a gift. She's giving us a gift.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's true. That's a very good point.
You know?
Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji Water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation, it's not just water, it's Fiji Water. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the office, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity, because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea, so there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sautéed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls.
Yeah. And I, you know, when you ask, when I have guests on the pod and I say, especially if it's like a writer, reporter, which housewife would you love to talk to, or podcaster, it's honestly the absolute vast majority, the answer is Tamara. And I would love to have her on the pod one day. I would love to have her on the pod this season genuinely and be like, listen, this is my perspective as a Shanstan. This is also a podcast about psychology. Talk me through the steps associated here and things that we may have seen or not. And also let's talk about some of the audience reaction, because I think she would be up for it. And
yeah,
she definitely seemed up for it in your episode, which I definitely highly encourage that people listen to and watch those clips. And also I did, there was a moment in her speaking in headline assassinry where she said that Vicky, what was the quote? Like, Vicky's not going to get an orange. She's like, doesn't even have a clementine.
Yeah, she said Vicky can't get an orange. She can't even get a clementine. Maybe she can get her hands on a cutie, which I don't know if y'all are into cuties. I very much am into cuties. It's a very popular grocery store clementine brand. I don't know if I've actually ever seen
in New York. Cutie in the I've never city. Seen a cutie in the
okay,
city.
Okay,
yeah.
So in places like Orange County or North Carolina, where I grew up, you can very much get your hands on a cutie. So Vicky, if you're ever in North Carolina, if
you
you're
can
ever
get them there,
yes.
You can get them there if you're looking. Listen, and I, you know, my response to Tamara on social, I did just post a little comment that said, you know, in Tamara's defense, because there was that it was either like the headline of the clementine thing or like the actual clip. And I did just comment and I said, in Tamara's defense, she is an expert in citrus, having podcasted with a lemon for so long. Sorry, it was sitting there in front of me. I had to take it.
I also think that Tamara, as someone who speaks in headlines and sound bites, would really appreciate that comment.
Thank you. Yeah. It made me laugh while I typed it very quickly. As soon as I saw the clementine, I was like, beep, 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 beep. I went about my business. So Tamara, if you're listening, which you are absolutely not, you are welcome on Reality. See how I still do it with the pause?
No, I like
it. Or Andy Scrolls, anytime, any day of the week. Evan, can I just full circle? We truly have to wrap. But my tagline about true love was in reference.
We
even talked about it in advance. We talked about it offline. I lost my mind yesterday on social. Just may their memory be a blessing. Bennifer, I think AG's know, because I've done Taking It Personally, is about her episodes about her Netflix, Amazon docuseries, which I watched again as a part of my Shiva call, The Greatest Love Story Never Told. It is a devastating moment for a certain segment of the audience. The culture that maybe has followed Jen's love journey and was hoping just the 2003 to 2024 of it all, how shocked so many of us were when they actually seemed to start dating. I did not believe it. I thought it was a fun little press thing, LOL. And when it seemed like it was real, I was like, how the fuck is this happening? And then when he proposed, I thought to myself, I never thought this was ever going to come around again. It felt like one of those things where people are just, we kind of like daydream about it, of like, oh, he's single, she's single, it'll work. And then it actually seemingly does. And she filed on their second anniversary. This was a relationship that people have been following, not that they were together for 20 years, but over the course of 20 years. It was just genuinely something that I think was expected. Lord knows Page Six has covered it. There's an article up now about the fact that, you know, sources say that their relationship seemed to be over during their honeymoon. I mean, I support Jen. I really do. I feel really sad for her. And in watching The Greatest Love Story Never Told again for like the third or fourth time yesterday, there are just moments where she's just catching herself because she's, you know, dealing with the stresses involved with this musical. I forget how Benny Medina called it. It was like not a musical album, but a term to use, and like a concept, a visual concept piece, an experimental theater. And the way that she said, you know, I just like feel the need. Ben was actually talking about the reasons that she was going so public and talking about their love so publicly, and that was kind of layered. But her just kind of saying, I just wanted to show this, and is it that I'm trying to prove it or what? I just don't want to be embarrassed. I just hope that that doesn't happen. And that's not the direct quote, but like her face looked pain, like the idea of this will definitely work out. The whole reason behind this entire thing is to say that it finally worked out. But what if it doesn't work out? And it's really loaded. And I just think of it and I just, you know, people have their thoughts and feels and they have every right to cast aspersions, make jokes, say whatever they want. And I just, I love J-Lo. And so it just like, I just feel for her because I think it was symbolic for a lot of people of like, oh my God, you know, I mean, their love did cause a thing, but like, oh my God, they found each other and these things can actually work out. Like maybe she actually got the fairy tale that she wanted. And it's, you know, she's obviously a very public person, which I'm sure was maybe tough for their relationship, but he knew who she was. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Exactly. I don't think either of them did.
Yeah. RIP. It was fun while it lasted. I just hope that Jen is okay.
Yeah.
And I hope that she keeps the green diamond engagement ring because
it's gorgeous.
Loved it.
Do you know it's the second most rare color diamond after red?
I did not know that.
Who
until
even thinks of a red diamond?
Right. Isn't that just a ruby? Red. Like, no. Oh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, I loved the green diamond.
It was so pretty. It was her favorite color. It was her lucky color.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't know. Who Run the World, girls? You know, ring don't mean a thing. I don't know. Google me. Like, I'm just thinking of a dossier of musical albums coming from the universe, but also Kim Zolciak, Bierman Zolciak again. You know, I really genuinely feel for her. I just, yeah. I don't know. It's easy for people on the outside to say you don't need to marry the man today, but I don't know. I just feel for her. I hope that she's okay, because her whole most recent professional creation was focused on her love for him, and that love I'm sure still remains, but Jesus, the heartbreak.
Yeah. Aww.
Poor Jen.
T's and P's.
I did greet you at the door to my apartment today with On the Six.
Yes, you did.
It was a glorious entrance. I just felt like we needed it. I was dancing. It was a moment. And so sending all of our love to my queen and someone in search of her love. And hopefully, you know, she will be in a long-term relationship with herself regardless. And, you know, we're not even going to get into this, but like Ben also talked about, and who, fuck Ben, but like he talked about the fact that he felt like she was, or she felt sort of emotionally abandoned when she was a child, and how that has affected her search for connection and partnership and relationships, and how many of us have dealt with traumas when we were younger and we're just constantly playing catch up and trying to heal our younger selves, you know. And who knows? I don't know her personally. I just still can't believe they got back together. I really can't believe it. It was just so wild. Like Bennifer's back together. It was just, and then they got married and it was like, oh my God. So
yeah, it was a wild time.
It was a wild time.
All good things must come to an end, I suppose, even a second time.
Yeah. And maybe the second time wasn't that good. But now, you know, when someone shows you believe in the first time, sometimes you believe in the second, you know, who among us? Listen, Evan Real, we have recorded for 18 hours. My goodness. Can you tell the AGs who some of your most recent pod guests are on virtual reality and where folks can follow you on social?
Yeah. So some recent guests include obviously Tamara, Sarah's fave.
But I really do like Tamara.
I believe that. We have an episode with Danielle Cabral, I think, coming out tomorrow, which was fun. And then, tomorrow we are interviewing Rebecca Minkoff, the new friend of On Roni. So we're excited about that.
Have you received any things not to discuss? Blink twice. No. Are you going to discuss some stuff?
We're going to feel it out.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to feel it out.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. It's a delicate dance.
I'm trying to get a handbag. You know.
Does she still sell them?
Apparently at Nordstrom Rack, according to Bryn.
Is he what?
Apparently at Nordstrom Rack, according to Bryn. I mean.
Well, I will look forward to listening to that interview. And did you say where people can follow you?
Oh, yes. Just at Evan Real.
Perfect. And AG, send me your satchels of gold at Dame Galley on Instagram. Your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Bravo, Orange County, New Jersey, Dubai. Although I'm still catching up because I have only watched the premiere, but I will catch up quickly, I promise. And that might be featured on an upcoming Patreon episode. Of course, Patreon episode up now, a deep dive live reaction to the Salt Lake City trailer and more on New York. You can listen to that episode out now at patreon.com/andysgirls. It's exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's People's Couch tiers. And so thanks to all the Patreon supporters, because it is the number one way to support the pod. Evan, thank you for this 18th part episode. This was a total joy. I'm so glad you're back in New York, sir, and come back on tomorrow. And also, like, we did dance a little bit in the rain with Orange County, but there's so much more to say. So you need to come back. You absolutely simply must.
Obviously, yes.
Okay, guys, thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.